In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Merry Christmas. I don't know about you, but I always feel a little bit of a letdown the first Sunday after Christmas. For the most part, the presents are unwrapped and the paper disposed of. The rector is often away to visit relatives, and our families have mostly gone home. The commercialized glitz and Christmas music, which intoxicated the world prior to December the 25th, has suddenly come to a screeching halt throughout the shopping malls around us, and all of the festively wrapped chocolate truffles have gone on sale. Hard to imagine I'm even getting a little bit sick of Christmas cookies. But in this twilight time, between Christmas Day and the New Year, a new slew of deadlines often arise to meet us. Much to our surprise, the anxieties of our lives did not simply melt and disappear with the warmth of Christmas, but they stand just as real, perhaps even more real, on the other side of Christmas. Now, you might like to call this Down Sunday, which is a name I just invented. And the mood is captured well by a song that my brother, sister, and I used to sing when we were in a singing group growing up. So we sang in a group called Kid Voices and wore little red Santa hats around and sang at different places. And I want you to imagine, after sort of everyone has sung some typical Christmas songs, a lone little child, waif, walks to the sort of center of the stage and sings this song. I'm just a droopy little Christmas tree. Nobody cares what happens to me. After the bright lights are taken away, nobody loves me. They throw me away. Drooping, dilapidated, spent, and exhausted, I imagine we are all feeling after these holidays a little bit like the droopy little Christmas tree. Now, the world around us is rushing back into action. Now is the time, it says. There's still some time to correct our many faults, to get right what we've done wrong, to pick ourselves up by our own bootstraps, to save ourselves by our own efforts. Now is the time to make resolutions, New Year's resolutions, as we worship Janus, the god of January, the ancient pagan god of peace and new beginnings. But you know, I'm still feeling a little bit droopy. I'm still feeling a little bit downtrodden. And if you're feeling a little bit like me today, then the angel of the Lord comes to you as well with a new annunciation saying, friends, Christmas is not over. Not over. How can it be? After the bright lights are taken away, what Christmas can be left for me? If we, like the little Christmas tree, are stripped bare, the Christmas words of the prophet Isaiah greet us yet again and bid us say, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Though our halls may no longer be decked with boughs of holly, our church still is. And though the bridegroom has not ceased to deck his bride, and the bridegroom has not ceased to deck his bride. Though the Christmas lights may have been taken away from the storefronts, the light shines in the darkness, as John says in his gospel, and the darkness has not overcome it. While the world presents us with a gospel of good works and salvation by resolutions, the church calls us again this Christmas season to a gospel of grace. And not just grace, but grace upon grace, a salvation wrought not by our own works, but by the faithfulness of our infant King, Jesus Christ. May we who are feeling weary come and lay all our burdens down at the foot of his manger and feed upon the living bread of heaven this day. For as you all know well, the Catholic faith teaches that there is not one day, but 12 days of Christmas. 12 days in which we sing the mighty victory of the incarnation of our God. Now, if you're like our family, the Christmas tree is still standing. Handel's Messiah is still playing, and the Magi from the distant East have not yet reached the end of their arduous journey to see the young king. But even this is not enough. Let us not speak of one, or even 12 days of Christmas, but of 365 days of the Incarnation, indeed, of an endless succession of days and years of Christmas, which shall not cease until heaven and earth have passed away, and Christ shall hand over all things to the Father. For with Christ's incarnation, friends, as we've so often heard in this place, everything has changed. Something fundamentally new has begun. As Paul writes in his letter to the Galatians, it is not as though we have temporarily been freed from slavery. As Paul writes, we have been adopted forever as sons and daughters of God. So in the end of my remarks this morning, I want to think about Paul's metaphor of adoption. What does it mean that we have been adopted once and for all by God at Christmas and in the Incarnation and in all that that brings to us? I've often wondered about the experience of parents adopting children, particularly those who go overseas to do so. Several years ago, Susanna, Elizabeth, and I were flying home from Germany, and I saw a white American couple with an African baby in the mother's arms. Now, as anyone who's attempted a transatlantic flight with a baby in arms knows, this is a trying experience, and all the more so, I imagine, if one is coming from Africa. At one point in the flight, I noticed the new adoptive mother convulsing and weeping, terrified, overjoyed, exhausted at the finality of the thing she and her husband had done. The flight attendant stood nearby her with a hand sympathetically on her shoulder, telling her that they had done a good thing. No doubt the experience had been life-changing. To travel to a foreign country, to take into one's arms an unwanted child, no doubt in previous generations one that would have been exposed, left to die, or aborted. To feel that child breathing with new life, and to take that life and all its responsibility upon oneself, all of that must have been completely transformative and overwhelming. But friends, imagine this. Imagine if, as part of the process of adoption, parents had to bring a child of their own, a child begotten of their own love, and hand it over to the adoption agent before receiving someone else's child. The idea seems preposterous to us, and yet that is what God the Father did when he gave his only son to be born of a woman, to be born under the law, to be born into our state of sin and shame and lostness, in order to redeem us and make us his own children. Paul writes in his letter to the Galatians, "For when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but children. And if children, then also heirs through God." Friends, this is why Christmas must last an endless succession of 365 days, because the adoption has been made. Legally binding, completed, done. We have been adopted as children, and while mortals sleep and angels keep their watch of wandering love, Christ the infant Lord traveled to a faraway country, became incarnate, and gave himself in love as a writ of adoption. Though every human relationship fail us, yet Christ has adopted us and we belong to the Father. Not for one day, not for 12 days, but for eternity. Amen.